Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Very few of the numbers relating to Alzheimer's disease are very good, especially in the African-American community, where blacks over the age of 70 are almost twice as likely as whites to contract the disease. Alzheimer's researchers at Washington University's Knight Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, or ADRC, are studying memory issues through its longstanding Memory and Aging Project. The ADRC is also partnering with a black rep in an attempt to help families face the challenge of caring for Alzheimer's patients. Joining me are Dr. John Morris, the Harvey A. and Doris May Hacker Friedman Distinguished Professor of Neurology and Director of the Knight Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. Beverly Foster is a participant in the Memory and Aging Project. Her mother and two uncles had Alzheimer's disease. Ron Himes is founder and producing director of the St. Louis Black Repertory Company. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
It's a pleasure.
Dr. Morris, let me begin with you. It's been just about a couple of years since we last talked, and I think the first question I asked you then is the same one I'll ask you now, is how much progress has been made in the last couple of years in Alzheimer's research?
So progress has been made. We now are looking at ways to try to intervene and prevent the Alzheimer dementia from occurring. Those trials now have been going on for almost 5 years, and we hope to find in the next year or two some preliminary evidence that it is delaying or maybe even preventing the onset of dementia.
The numbers that I gave in the introduction concerning African Americans and Alzheimer's, very disturbing. Any sense as to what's going on here?
So that's a huge issue. We know that the risk for Alzheimer's disease in African Americans is double that of whites, but we don't know why. Mm-hmm. And partly it's because we haven't invested enough in terms of dedicated research with African Americans to try to fully understand what risk factors they are experiencing that put them at elevated risk.
Mm-hmm. Why is this taking so long, do you think? I mean, research has been ongoing and it's been very slow.
Some perspective. The organized research into Alzheimer's disease began just really over 30 years ago, 1984. And we have made progress. I think we do have some medications that help with the symptoms of the disease, and we have a much better understanding of the disease mechanisms that are important for causing the illness. We haven't yet found effective therapies, so you're correct on that front. But if we think about it, the war on cancer began 30 years before the war on Alzheimer's disease, and we're just now starting to see some therapy. We are making progress. I don't want people to think that all this effort hasn't been worthwhile. We really have come a long way.
I guess there's an impatience because it is so prevalent.
And I'm getting older, so.
And aren't we all? aren't we all? Beverly, let me turn to you. Can you give me some sense of what your experience with this has been? I know members of your family have had Alzheimer's. You've had to deal with that as a caregiver, perhaps. I'm not sure if that's the case or not.
Actually, I did serve as caregiver at the time. My mom was in Kansas City, Missouri with my other siblings, and I lived in Atlanta, Georgia. But because it is so important, what I would do is every other month go to Kansas City to give my sister, who was the primary caregiver, a break. Because that's one of the things that I definitely learned is that it's important to take care of the caregiver. Because it's a hard job. Probably the most difficult thing about Alzheimer's is that at 60 years old, my mom didn't know who I was. She said I was a nice lady. And I was glad to know that, but it's just really disconcerting when your mother doesn't know who you are. She knew she had children, but in her mind, her children were small. We were still very young, so she didn't know any of us as her children. She knew us as nice people who were there to help take care of her and take her where she needed to go. So that's probably the most difficult about it, is that when your loved ones get to the point where they don't recognize you, and it's just hard to imagine your mom not knowing who you are. So it's a very hurtful disease in that regard. I consider it also a very ugly disease because, again, how can you imagine that someone that has known you all your life doesn't know you and can't function the way that they had before, which in her early stages, she knew something was going on because she couldn't form her sentences and she was very articulate. And she would say, I hate this. And then again, to have a loved one know that something's wrong but not really know what it is. And even if we tell her, you know, at that point, you could tell her she didn't recognize, well, what is Alzheimer's, that kind of thing. Well, I don't understand that, so I just don't understand what's going on. So that made it difficult.
It's a thief. It steals from the victim and from the victim's family.
Exactly.
Ron, let me turn to you because this is a little bit of a transition. What we've just been hearing, is this the stuff of good theater?
It is the stuff of good theater. The play Dot, which is written by Coleman Domingo, basically encapsulates all of what the first two speakers, what Doc and Ms. Foster just talked about. It's an African-American family. The mom is in the early stages of dementia and Alzheimer's. She has three children. The oldest daughter is the primary caregiver. The middle child, which is her son, is in total denial. And the youngest daughter, the younger sibling, who is also a daughter, is also in a state of denial. And the primary caregiver, Shelley, who is the oldest daughter, is stressed out, out of her mind, just about trying to take care of mom, but also trying to get her siblings to help. And the play is set 3 days before Christmas. So all of the siblings will be coming home. Shelley plans to have this, you know, come to Jesus meeting. Mm-hmm. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk. We're going to figure out what we need to do to take care of mom.
Judy Newmark gave it a nice review in the Post-Dispatch today.
Good.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Okay,
so
well, look for it. It's a nice review. And she mentions that it is quite funny at times. My question is, there's nothing really funny about Alzheimer's disease.
Well, you know, the play is very funny at moments, and then it's very, very touching. People are leaving, you know, they're crying through it, they're laughing through it. And, you know, I think that a couple of people that I've talked to said, you know, there are things that are funny within the family. Mm-hmm. If you talk about them in public, they're not as necessarily as funny. But there are things that happen between Shelley and the mom. Their exchanges.
I see.
That happened to be really funny.
Beverly, did you find any humor at all in your situation?
Actually, it was. My mom married to my stepdad for over 40 years, and they shared the same bedroom, of course. And she was telling my siblings that God is going to get you for making me sleep with this man. So we had to move her into a bedroom on her own because she didn't recognize him as her husband. So it was a sin that she had to sleep with him.
Now, that line may have been spoken by people who are perfectly healthy. Who knows? Dr. Morris, how did you at night in the center hook up with the Black Rep to put all of this together?
Well, we have done other productions with the Black Repertory Theater and really trying to get the message out to the African American community about the illness and about the increased risk. So we're delighted to be able to do this again. And Ron Himes has very graciously asked us to have representatives from the Knight ADRC at the performances to field questions and try to address concerns.
What kind of it's been running since the 6th of September, I think, on a scattered basis. What sort of questions have you been getting?
Well, I think a lot that you have been asking, why are African Americans at elevated risk for Alzheimer's disease? We don't have the answers. In part, getting the awareness out into the community is so that we can attract and invite more African Americans to participate in research so we can try to get some of these answers. That's why Beverly is such a shining star for us, because she is not shy about that message.
Exactly.
You know, and actually the young lady that plays Dot in the play, her mom, who passed at 103, participated in the Memory and Aging Project with Dr. Morris and his staff. And so she had her mom, she experienced having to be a caregiver for her mom. And now, so she brings a lot to the role from personal experience.
Sure, that would be a great assist, I would think, in a role like that, given the subject matter.
Yes, it's been really helpful for her. And I think it's sort of helped her to work through some things. Last Thursday, I think it was, her son came to see the performance. Mm-hmm. And that night we had Dr. Music, a neurologist from the
Alzheimer's Center,
was there facilitating. Mm-hmm. After the show, the facilitator mm-hmm. joins the cast on stage. And who would have been the grandson talked about seeing his grandmother in his mother and what he had experienced in trying to cope with it.
Well, yeah. What inspired you to come up with the idea for having a question and answer session following the performance?
Well, we generally do one or two for each production, mm-hmm. but we found that with some shows and depending upon the material, that there's a necessity to do as many post shows as we can. A couple of years ago, we did a piece that dealt with schizophrenia, and we partnered with 14 mental health agencies for that show, Twisted Melodies. And so they gave us facilitators after each performance, and we found that people want to stay. People have questions. People want to talk, and we're very happy to be able to provide that resource and to be able to help these agencies get their information out.
May I just interject that this performance of Dot rings very true for anyone who has experienced Alzheimer's disease. All of the concerns and the stresses and the humor and the anger is really spot on. And the performers are marvelous. They're just terrific.
I have to take a break in just a few seconds. What do African Americans need to know? I mean, you say they have questions, obviously, but what do they need to know about
this? So many African Americans accept some deterioration in memory and thinking as part of normal aging. It is not. Truly healthy aging, you don't have memory problems, don't have thinking problems. And so people need to get evaluated, and if those problems are caused by Alzheimer's, need to get treated.
But we hear all the time that, you know, forgetting where you put the keys and that sort of thing is really a part of the aging process.
Well, when I talk about memory and thinking problems, I'm talking about problems that interfere with that individual's ability to carry out their usual activities. And we all struggle to come up with a name from time to time or misplace our eyeglasses. But right. but it's when people can no longer operate a motor vehicle or they forget to take their medications. It's impacting their life. That's a problem.
Oh. Yeah, the thing that Dr. Music, he answered that question for an audience member last week, and he said, we all forget where we put our keys from time to time. Mm-hmm. It becomes a problem or an issue when you forget what the keys do, when you forget what the keys go to. Forgetting where they are is not as big a problem.
I've heard it put that way many times. I have to take that break now. We'll do it. We're talking about Alzheimer's disease, research being conducted into it, and a play being performed by the Black Rec Company on the issue. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. John Morris, Beverly Foster, and Ron Himes. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back to our conversation with Dr. John Morris, director of Washington University's Knight Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, Beverly Foster, a participant in the ADRC Memory and Aging Project, and Ron Himes, founder and producing director of the St. Louis Black Repertory Theater. Dr. Morris, I'll come back to you because you mentioned something that I wanted to mention and then slipped my mind with regard to your Knight Center and the fact that the man for whom that is named has just passed away and played an important role in your work.
Yes. Just yesterday, we lost a great civic leader in St. Louis, Charles F. Knight. And Chuck and his wife, Joanne, were instrumental in endowing the Knight ADRC at Washington University to enable our research. So we miss him terribly, and as I say, it's a great loss for our community.
And, of course, he passed away from Alzheimer's disease.
And he had Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah, right. Beverly, let me come back to you for a discussion, if you will, about the Memory Project and what role you're playing. How is that working?
Actually, I'm enjoying it, and that's one of the things that I share with others, which is important to get more African Americans to participate, is to have someone that looks like them to be able to say, these are the things that happen. There's nothing that's invasive. For the most part, and it can be relatively enjoyable. Also, it's somewhat frustrating because, you know, I don't tell people that I have a master's degree when I go for my exams when I can't remember the paragraph that they give us, and then we have to tell them back again, or when they have a list of words that I really do know those words, but in the heat of the moment, I can't figure out what does that word mean or recognize it to even be able to spell it or whatever. But those are the types of instruments that are used for the testing in the study. So, and it's extremely important that we get more African Americans to participate because these are trusted individuals. I would not be there if I didn't trust Dr. Morris and his staff. I would not be there if there was anything happening to me that was not above board. So to be able to share with the community, one, it's extremely important that we participate because, you know, we have some differences based on our culture and our backgrounds, our lifestyles that can be captured so that whatever the diagnosis is and whatever the treatments that are identified to make sure that they do, in fact, work for us.
Do you feel any particular risk yourself, given your family's history?
Well, so far, with all the testing, that's the other good thing, reason to go for the testing. So far, I don't have any of the markers for Alzheimer's, other than I'm getting older, you know, which is the number one risk factor is aging. But so that's one of the good things about going for being in the studies is that it helps you to identify, okay, how much at risk are you? So, yeah.
Dr. Morris, this has been going on for 40 years, this memory project. You haven't been involved in it that long, obviously, but what has been learned over those 40 years, do you think?
For example, we used to say that you only know for certain if someone has Alzheimer's disease when the person dies and we study the brain under the microscope. That's no longer the case. We can tell in living people now whether they're developing the brain pathology, the brain changes of Alzheimer's disease, and we can identify those brain changes before the onset of symptoms, before dementia. So going back to what I mentioned earlier, this gives us an opportunity to intervene with drugs to try to delay or prevent dementia, which we think will be a more effective treatment strategy.
Yeah. Ron Himes, what have you learned? Have you had any personal experience at all with Alzheimer's?
No family that I.
What have you learned in connection with this production and what you've heard, you know, over the years about Alzheimer's? What have you learned?
I've learned quite a bit. The statistics, for sure. Which was staggering to me when I first, you know, learned that African Americans were twice as likely. But also the markers, you know, in conversations with people, we would think that, as a matter of fact, the older sibling in the play says, you know, we got to start doing things like crossword puzzles and, you know, trying to stay active. And so those were the kinds of things that I knew about in terms of trying to present Alzheimer's. I didn't know before really starting to work on the play that ultimately that Alzheimer's ultimately was fatal and that it was a form of dementia. So I've learned quite a bit from my first early conversations with Dr. Morris. You know, we talked about that there are a number of different kinds of dementia and that Alzheimer's is one that's the most prevalent and has its own set of specific symptoms. And, you know, that there's no cure for it.
Doctor, we always used to call people senile, you know, back before Alzheimer's became as prominent as it has been in the news and in so many families. But I guess it's been around for a long time. The people we called senile 50 years ago may have had Alzheimer's.
Oh, almost certainly. Another term people used to use was hardening of the arteries. But those are almost certainly cases of Alzheimer's disease. We think Alzheimer's disease has been on Earth for centuries. We didn't hear about it because so few people lived to the age at which they would develop it. Now our population is aging. It's a huge problem, an epidemic.
What kills? What about Alzheimer's kills people?
So ultimately, the brain deteriorates to the point that people can't swallow appropriately, and they choke on food, or they get food or liquids into their lungs, develop pneumonia. unable to walk, immobile, unable to control their sphincters. So although it begins with memory and thinking difficulties, at the end, it's a miserable disease and it incapacitates the person and they usually die of pneumonia.
Beverly, have you seen Dot?
I have not been yet. I'm scheduled to go with a group soon.
Well, again, I'll turn you back to your family situation for a moment, and again get some sense of that thief that we talked about.
Yes,
that you were very eloquent about that a little while ago. But what more can you tell us about that experience?
Probably from the caregiver side, which one of the things that Ron was saying that the play brings out is, since it is very difficult to see your loved ones in that environment, it's also very hard to get people to accept, one, there is a problem. I have two sisters and a brother, so the five of us had responsibility for my mom. My brothers, who both lived in town, handled is, we will provide to make sure that her environment is safe. Both of them are, you know, electricians, carpenters, and able to do stuff like that. So another funny thing that happened is that my mom was out on the porch. My dad was on the swing watching her, and she crawled over the rail and was getting ready to leave because she said she was going home, which this rail was on the porch, and there was at least a 3-foot drop to get down to the sidewalk to get. And my dad sat there and watched her do it. And then, you better come get your mom. She's gone down the street. So my brothers came the very next day and put up a lattice on the porch to keep her from being able to get away that way, because we had just put basically a chain on the gate, which all it was just lift the chain up over the post and you can open the door. My mom couldn't figure that out.
Right.
So her way to escape was to go over the rail. So
and we chuckle things about that, and that's part of what we were getting to earlier, earlier, Ron, about you had said before we went on the air also that you're not having children attend the matinees because
there's some language in the play. But one of the things, it's one of the funny things, is that Shelley, out of her frustration, winds up using a bit of profanity, cussing a bit. And Dot repeatedly says, we've got to stop all this unnecessary cussing in the house. But she will say, we've got to stop all this expletive cussing in the house. I told you we got to stop all this expletive cussing in this house. And there's the youngest daughter, Avery, has had her 15 minutes of fame as a reality TV star. And she is spending her time waiting for her next big reality show or break to come through.
Or become president.
Right. And so she's young and she just constantly uses profanity as the way she talks. But in the end, it's very interesting, in the end, she becomes the one who realizes that this is our new normal. You know, mom will never be the same again. And this is our new normal, and now we've got to figure out how we're going to live and take care of her.
We'll have information with regard to the performances. There are a lot of different times and dates for it on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Dr. Morris, let me come back to you. Because we have this disparity in numbers between Caucasians and African Americans. Does the disease manifest itself any differently in Black Americans than it does in white Americans?
We think in general the disease is very similar, but there are differences. Beverly was mentioning the influence of a number of factors into lifestyle and culture. Certainly genetics plays a role. So it's a very similar but not identical disease. I think the major issue in African Americans in our experience is that they have had gone through life's changes that whites don't go through, including discrimination, which leads to a lot of stress, which we think over a lifetime may be very bad for the brain, as well as poorer education on average. And these are all factors that we think may contribute to the increased risk of Alzheimer's. And I should say, it's not just for African Americans, but it's also for Hispanics. Twice the level of whites.
We've been hearing an awful lot in recent months about just that, for the sake of all study that was put out by
exactly.
Jason Parnell, for instance, pointing out that there, in various adjoining zip codes, you can have mm-hmm. such a disparity in life and life expectancy. I do want to point out also that the Alzheimer's Walk is going to be held this Saturday, that downtown. We'll have information about that on our website, too. I'm going to take a quick call from Hillary here and see if time will allow for a very quick question from her. Hillary, you're on the air, but please make it quick. We're running out of time.
Okay. Hi. Thank you. I am a daughter of a woman who developed Alzheimer's in her 60s. I'm now in my late 50s. I'm wondering if you can say more about the tests that are available for people who are curious if they're likely to develop Alzheimer's, and if people can get them locally. I live in the St. Louis area.
So I would say that the best test is to have an evaluation of your memory and thinking ability. I think you're leading towards genetic tests, which are very complicated and not for everyone. But if you have any concerns about your risk, I would establish your memory and thinking baseline with either a research participation, as Ms. Foster was discussing, or with your physician.
Time is getting away, but someone had mentioned before the idea of using crossword puzzles and things like mind games to help out in this regard. Anything to that?
There's only one surefire way to prevent Alzheimer's disease, and that's to be a research volunteer in the Memory and Aging Project at the Knight Alzheimer's Center. That's the only way.
All right, well, that's good advice. A final thought, Beverly, very quickly.
Now, I'd encourage people, please consider research. It's so important for the information so that we can make things better for people in general. But right. for what it will do for you personally, it's important for you to participate in research.
And in 10 seconds, Ron, a final thought.
Final thought is the play runs through the September 24th, and we hope that people will come out. We've got a resource table in the lobby with information from the research project, and we have post-show discussions following each performance.
Great. Ron Hines, thank you so much for being with us. Beverly Foster, thank you for being with us. Dr. John Morris, thank you so much for being with us. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.